Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
All right, everybody, kicking off hour two here. Follow the Money, Stormy Bonantoni, Dustin Sweetelson in for the guys. Live as always from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book. We are keeping tabs on all things Olympic hockey as Team USA remains up 1-0 right now over Sweden. We just got underway here in the third period. Lone goal of the game. So good for y'all if you had unders in this one today, especially considering how many people thought there were going to be goals.
So here's the question. You could still get Sweden +1.5, +114. How nervous are you of an empty netter, though?
Sure.
That is the hesitation there. So would you? I wouldn't lay the 1.5 -125. You can't go under 3.
I'd probably stay away from it right now. To be honest with you.
I kind of want to go alt under 2.5 if I can find that. Right now, it's 3.5 -280 on the under. You can't do anything there.
Yeah,
you can pair it with the Dodgers though.
You can. That's what we were just talking about. And somebody, Golf Calling, sending an email into our Money Moves email a moment ago, was mentioning adding Scottie Scheffler top 10 to some of the... I mean, like, the last time that he had not finished top 10 was the Players a full year ago. So that feels about as automatic as they come in golf.
Yeah, no, but anyone who's ever placed a parlay or a bet in their life knows that something that feels absolutely 100% like the locked anchor of your parlay
will be the
first one that goes down.
That's the loser. Hey, Sweden, by the way, on a power play right now. So we'll see if they could potentially get the equalizer. The lone goal, Dylan Larkin, we mentioned in Win Some, Lose Some, 35-1. For the first goal of this game, he was 6-1 for an anytime goal. So that is a big one if you had it in pocket. We mentioned, you know, the building parlays. We will go to the pizzeria at the end of this hour. Also still to come, we will continue going through all 30 teams for our MLB day-by-day previews. Today, we're hitting on the Marlins. You also have a World Baseball Classic angle you want to get into.
Yeah, look, we're a few weeks away. I was looking at some of these rosters. There's a team out there that I think a lot of people expected to be good. I think they stink. Also, we have a traitor amongst us. One of those words make sense. I'm not that good at words. It's weird they give me a microphone. But what I'd say is there is a player that I saw on one of these teams, not in the USA. And I was like, wait, I'm pretty sure, one, he's American. Two, he played for Team USA in the past. I went to the official website. He's wearing his Team USA cap on the other country's World Baseball Classic roster page.
Interesting.
I'll tell you who that is later.
Okay.
Traitor!
How dare he? And I think there's a traitor among us would just be, like, I don't know why. We didn't have to get crazy with the STs at the end of the words. I don't think we needed that one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what amidst means. Amidst us. I'm just making up English.
We'll also have Mike Palm in studio with us in about 30 minutes. Excited to get his reaction, especially to all of the hockey that's been going on right now. But we're actually going to get things started here, talking a little National Football League. A handful of news items coming down earlier today, including that the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes have agreed to a restructured deal this season, clearing out more than $43 million in cap space. Before this morning, Dustin, KC was about 55 mil over the cap. According to overthecap.com, Mahomes' cap number now goes from 78.2 to 34.65 after the move. So where does that put Kansas City now? About 11.5 million under. Still, I mean, like, no idea near where it was, but like much more workable now. And you know that they're going to make a couple more moves to cut guys, to give them some more flexibility to bring in free agents or re-sign their own guys, whatever they want to do.
Yeah, the NFL salary cap is the biggest financial lie this side of Social Security.
Absolutely.
Everyone keeps saying Social Security is going to run out. Okay, let's see. Prove it. Let's see if it does run out. I keep paying for it, so I expect to get something in the end. The NFL salary cap, you keep telling me these teams don't have space, yet all you can do is just do a couple restructures, kick the can down the road, and then Patrick Mahomes does the right thing. And
again, from $55 million over the cap to where they're at now.
People hate hearing this. And Lamar Jackson's going to have to do the same. He's going to make 70-something million next year. If your priority is winning Super Bowls, you have to make it easier for your roster to be constructed to put you in that position. Patrick Mahomes learned the hard way. When you deal with injuries and you have a shallow roster and you don't have the weapons you need because the quarterback is taking up too much of that money, your team's not going to go anywhere. It's not fair. I totally understand. Being a quarterback, it is a much harder position to play. But if you're judged by rings, you're going to have to make these financial decisions. And hopefully you can be in a situation like Mahomes, who benefits from the endorsements and State Farm and everything else he has, to be able to make these decisions. Not everyone can, but if you're at the level level of Mahomes right now and you're looking for that legacy build, you got to do what Brady did, like he just did here, and gave back a little bit of money.
And I think he very clearly understands the state of his team and where they didn't make the playoffs for the first time in forever. You win all of these AFC West titles and then you don't get it done. Chris Jones did the same thing last year, though, restructuring his, like, he gets the new deal, restructures it to give some of this cap relief. Juwan Taylor, the Chiefs' right tackle for the last 3 years, we know all the penalty issues that he has had. He's one of those guys that's very likely to be cut here very soon. There are a couple players that are kind of obvious cuts for the Chiefs as they try to create more cap relief and see what they can ultimately do with it. What are your thoughts on Kansas City moving forward to next year?
Tyreek Hill to the Chiefs feels inevitable.
That's all the speculation right now. Especially, you see there's more stuff with Rashee Rice and his ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, he's not a good person, allegedly. Allegedly,
it's not good.
Person who makes very bad decisions one after another. Not that Tyreek Hill is going to, I'm not going to endorse Tyreek Hill as a human
Trade
being.
Trade one for another, no.
But what I'd say is, I mean, all the prediction markets say 58% to go back to Kansas City. Who else has taken that headache dealing with the injury? He's going to have to do it on a really, really team-friendly deal if he's about winning rings, because I don't know who's shelling out the money, because I don't know what he's going to look like at this point.
And a guy who's known for his speed coming off such a significant knee injury specifically. That's the concern.
The problem is we don't know if he can run far and fast downfield anymore because he had a quarterback who couldn't throw it more than 30 yards in the air. So we don't actually know what Tyreek Hill's high-end speed is. I actually, when I look at Kansas City, maybe I'm on an island here. I think the biggest issue is offensive line. I don't trust that offensive line less than the weapons. You can find receivers. I don't mind some of the issues they have on the outside. To me, you have to protect Mahomes. Yeah. He's been on the run for 2 years now, and look where you find yourselves.
Well, and Taylor, who I mentioned specifically, you move off of him, you get a better right tackle in there. He had 55 total committed penalties the last three seasons. That's not what you're looking for. Speaking of wide receivers, though, as we go from talking about Rashee Rice and Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans confirms he's going to play next season. Now the big question is where all-time leading scorer for the Bucs entering his 13th season in the NFL will be a free agent, 32 years old. The Bucs do have options in the room, obviously, with the youngin in Emeka Egbuka. They've got Chris Godwin. Do they bring him back, or do you think Evans goes elsewhere?
You got to let him go. You have way too many receivers. There's no point in having depth at receiver. That's not a position that you need to have 4, 5, 6 deep, which they do. They have plenty of guys who can perform. Remember, Jalen McMillan a couple years ago was awesome for them. Like, they have guys. Unfortunately, Mike Evans, who's been a legend every step of the way, I mean, you can make the case. Mike Evans is the one who won Johnny Manziel's Heisman Trophy because Manziel would throw those 50-50 balls and Evans would go up and take it at Texas A&M. He then wins a ring with Brady. He's done all this for Baker Mayfield. Unfortunately, I just think because it's a salary cap league, you have to construct the rest of that roster. You move on from Mike Evans, especially because everything that you have allocated to that position right now, I think Buffalo is the spot that needs Mike Evans.
So here's what I was going to say to you is I'm looking offshore right now. The Bucks are the favorite to retain him. Kansas City is your second shot.
Ooh.
And then the Buffalo Bills.
If I'm Kansas City, if I could bring in Mike Evans, I bring in Mike Evans before Tyreek Hill. 100%. Because if you're going to play the game and just move in the chains and then in the red zone to be automatic with Mahomes and Evans, there's going to be a bidding war between Kansas City and Buffalo. Buffalo's going to need to pay top dollar. And for Kansas City, then you're making them weaker from where they stand with their salary cap by forcing them to spend more on Mike Evans.
I would love Josh Allen to have him, though.
I would love Josh Allen to have anyone. I've become such a Josh Allen truther. If you just objectively watch, you're like, hold on. His defense stinks. They can't stop the run. They can't do anything right. And then offensively, he's just having to make something happen with guys who have no business getting key targets on critical downs.
So I'm trying to think of other teams that could be worthwhile. Would you want another veteran in the room for C.J. Stroud coming off a down year? Or if you're him, you want to go to a winner, right? So
New England?
New England could be interesting because, you could get Drake May more weapons, too.
Pittsburgh?
You don't even know who your quarterback is in Pittsburgh.
I know, but
though.
I know they need receivers.
Yes, but again, I'm trying to think from Mike Evans' perspective as a free agent. He's not going to sign just to sign.
No. I'm thinking of, I think contenders. At this point in his career, he's only going to a contender. I don't think Baltimore can make it work from a cap space. Could Denver make it work, potentially? You think about, the knock on Bo Nix at times is the accuracy. Well, when someone has a catch radius like Mike Evans, it does mitigate some of those issues with his accuracy and his touch. Evans will just go up and make him look good all the time. That's a guy that I'd consider as well. In terms of the NFC, I don't know if Washington makes sense. They have a ton of cap space.
Here's something I want to talk about. Go down the road of the NFC. You see the San Francisco 49ers have another international game? Another one?
I spent time in that city, Mexico City, last week, where they're going to be playing. Legitimately don't know how they play sporting events there. The elevation's a thing.
Yeah.
Like, the air is thin. You can feel it when you're trying to breathe. I had a beer, and after I had the beer, I was like, I feel good after one beer. Look at me. One beer should not make me feel good like that. I don't know how you play at that elevation.
I was dying to, our producer Justin, bless your heart, put this in the rundown, that where the stadium is also coincidentally next to a power plant after all of the talk about everything going on in Santa Clara. But I'm just trying to think of, especially playing in an NFC West that is so tough and top heavy with the Rams and Seahawks, who are literally your co-favorites right now to win the Super Bowl next year. You're going to put this team at such a travel disadvantage. The Vikings last year, for example, played in Ireland and London in back-to-back weeks, but that's like an hour and a half flight between each other. They're going to play in three different countries, but the first to play multiple international games that aren't consecutive games. One's going to be week one, and then one's going to be like week 13 or 14. And that's a 19-hour full day trip to Melbourne, Australia. The 38,000 miles traveled this season, plus two East Coast road trips as well at Atlanta and at the New York Giants. So, yes, I'm a little bit bitter as a 49ers fan, considering what they've already gone through from an injury standpoint. They finally get the injury bug potentially off their back, and you're like, oh, no, let's also give them a travel disadvantage in the toughest division in football.
Yeah, but how about Brock Purdy, 18-1 MVP?
Hey, now.
I'm into it.
You know how we were talking about gas prices a little bit earlier? Did you know that you don't need to pay full price for gas? The free Upside app, you can earn real cash back every time you fill up. Download Upside from the App Store or Google Play Store. Start earning today. Promo code NETWORK gets you 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. Offers vary by user and location. Upside.com for terms and conditions. You just downloaded it, right?
I need gas after the show. Right down the road from the studio, I'm going to save 52 cents a gallon.
Would you look at that? All right, we got to step aside. Coming back, diving into a little more of Dustin's bread and butter, getting to the MLB previews next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is that time of year. The MLB season is upon us. As of yesterday, all 30 teams have reported their squads in full to spring training. Spring training games are going to get underway this weekend. We're just about a month out from the season. You getting the juices flowing? You excited?
Yeah, I've already placed too many futures. I already have three futures out there. My favorite one, by the way, I literally don't understand the pricing of this one. Nick Kurtz, the first baseman for the A's, he's 11-1 to be the home run leader. Guys, he hit like 50 last year. He's playing in a AAA ballpark with a little bit of altitude. The ball flies out of there. He's going to hit 50. He's going to be in the mix, okay? So you could probably do something there. That is by far my favorite future so far that I've placed. I am very oddly intrigued by my Mets. I'm on over the win total, and I bet them to win the World Series after they traded for Freddie Peralta.
Okay. JVT and I did a team play on his Angels over the season win total.
Why? Then you have to watch them.
Well, he's watching them anyways, so I can just get the opinions from there.
Yeah. I would not want to have anything to do with that organization.
Well, can you give me something that would be fun to watch? You have anything? So I am a Padres fan. Would there be anything worthwhile potentially for San Diego? It sucks the division that they play in.
Yo, your GM went from shopping at Bloomingdale's every offseason with these splash moves and bringing in these big contracts.
Nothing happening.
To now he's at TJ Maxx. He's like, we're going to take the artist formerly known as Walker Buehler. We're going to hope that Herman Marquez.
Well, when nothing happened bringing in the big dogs anyways, like, you might as well at least go cheaper.
No, I get it. They still have a decent core there, but go look at the numbers. Since Fernando Tatis was suspended for whatever he was injecting or rubbing on his body, he has not been the same player, and that is the biggest issue when it comes to San Diego Padres. I think they could be punchy. I think they could be interesting because of the pitching, and they have enough guys there, but I don't want to do anything with the Padres.
Okay, before we get into our season preview, and we've been going team by team each and every day, we'll continue to do so until we get through all 30. Today is going to be the Marlins, but you did have some thoughts. I know, we're going worst to first, okay? We're doing the slow burn, the slow build.
You
okay.
guys are like, Dustin, come fill in on Follow the Money. We're going to talk a lot of golf. We're going to talk a lot of hockey, and we're going to talk about the Marlins.
We aim to please. Listen, the good news is it can only get better from here. That said, you do have some World Baseball Classic angles you wanted to make sure we discuss.
Yeah, look, let's look at the odds for the World Baseball Classic. The U.S. is rightfully favored at -115. The Americans, we're loaded, all right? We have the pitching depth. We have the bullpen. We have a jacked lineup that can do everything. So that is correct, but I do believe this as an international competition with the pride that some of these countries feel for the sport of baseball, there's someone else worth looking at. Now, I looked at the second shot on the board. It's Japan. And we all know what Japan is. They're +330 to win this thing. They're going to play good fundamental baseball. But Ohtani's not pitching this time around. So your rotation you're looking at is Yamamoto, who just threw a ton of innings to win that World Series, right? Through a ton in the regular season, through extra in Game 7 on back-to-back days, you think the Dodgers are going to let him just go out there and have free reign to go deep into these contests? After him, it's Kikuchi. Then it's Sugano, who was with the Orioles, right, then traded last year. I don't know if Japan's quite as good. And then you look at the outfield that they're going to run out there. Yoshida from Boston's going to play left. Suzuki from the Cubs is in center. The guy in right field, someone named Kanda. I don't know who Kanda is, but I know he stinks at playing defense, because if he can't play center field over Suzuki or over Yoshida in left field, that's a butcher's defense. And when it comes to early baseball, when you're playing in the month of March, hitters are ahead of pitchers. So what does that mean? That means hitters are going to miss balls. Balls off the end of the bat. Balls off the hands, bleeders, bloops. If you don't have outfield defense that knows how to be positioned or have the range to get those balls, you're going to be in trouble. So I'm not going to buy in on Japan. The team I'm going to buy is right after them is the Dominican. They're +460 I got over at Boyd FanDuel. And the thing about the Dominicans that jumps out to you is starting pitching's okay. It's not amazing. Christopher Sanchez, awesome. Sandy Alcantara, we'll talk about him in a second, a year removed from having his surgery, played all of last year. Severino's fine as the three, but guys, these starters aren't pitching 7-8 innings. They're looking to get you a few, and then it's about middle relievers. They have plenty of middle relievers, and if runs are going to be at a premium because arms are ahead of bats, I want the Dominican lineup. Someone on this team is going to take you deep. Someone's going to produce runs. Vlad, Machado, Marte, Caminero, Peña, O'Neal Cruz, Julio Rodriguez, Soto. Like, they have so many guys who can take you deep. I think they're a value at almost 5-1. I think they make the championship game.
Last thing, how disappointing is it how many of these, like, star players aren't playing because of the insurance stuff?
Well, Puerto Rico stinks. Not the country. I've never been there.
Venezuela have, like, significant.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at their roster. Seth Lugo's their game one starter. After that, they've got a triple-A pitcher from the Yankees, a double-A pitcher from the Red Sox, and Jose Barrios. Nolan Arenado is playing for them. Nolan Arenado is wearing a Team USA picture on their official website. I copied it into my notes. He played for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. Now he's on Team Puerto Rico. That's how desperate they are. He's switching sides.
He said he's a traitor.
He's a traitor.
Okay, as we get into our first baseball preview today, the Marlins, reminder, our MLB betting guide is officially out right now, and there are team previews for every single team, and it's kind of cool. Our VSiN.com managing editor, Adam Burke, kind of has his, what he calls a nerdy take, the more analytical approach, really diving into the numbers of each of these teams. And then our guy, Jensen Lewis, former MLB pitcher, he also does a similar breakdown, but from the player's perspective. You can download the guide right now, just $19.99. If you want to get in there a la carte, you can also go to their vsin.com/guide or vsin.com/subscribe. If you want to join us on a full-time basis, you get every guide that we do throughout the course of the year as a part of it. It's an awesome deal. As far as the Marlins go, win total this year, 72.5. They're 35-1 shot for the worst record. Again, we're starting from the bottom here. For their longest losing streak of the season, 6.5 games is that number. To have the longest losing streak in MLB, 80-1. To make the playoffs, the no is -750. To win the NL East, 40-1. Like, all of these numbers are going to be long.
Yeah.
What's the approach on them?
All right, there's a few things. Let's first point out, I mentioned Sandy Alcantara. Last year came back, first year after missing the season with the surgery, And he was much better in the second half. He wasn't his old self, but that's to be expected when you go through what he went through. I think he's the guy who could really bounce back and be that ace that they need. Yuri Perez missed a year. He returned last year. We're going to see him a full season now after everything that he dealt with. And then Max Meyer. Max Meyer, the rookie last year, flashed a huge arm, dealt with some injuries, didn't really know how to harness his stuff. They have a legit 1-2-3 there. Okay, that could be really, really competitive for them. They added Pete Fairbanks from Tampa Bay to be the closer. He's legit. He's an all-star caliber closer. I like John King, the lefty they got from the Cardinals as well. The lineup should be competitive. Kyle Stowers is a stud. 25 homers last year. They bring in Owen Casey in the Cabrera trade to Chicago. He's a big prospect. Hit 22 home runs in AAA last season. The top of the order. We could have a Luis Castillo, Juan Pierre 1-2 punch like they had with Xavier Edwards, Jacob Marcy. Both of them, big-time guys who can put the ball in play and then steal bases so they could manufacture runs on their own. Augustin Ramirez behind the plate hit 21 home runs at 23 years old last year. And then if they can get something out of Connor Norby, if Chris Morel, who they got from Tampa Bay, could bounce back, this could be a competitive team. The way you bet them, I'd lean over on the 72.5 wins just because that's how the Marlins usually are. But the best bet to me is fourth place at minus 145. They came in third place last year. The reason they came in third place last year was because Atlanta had so many injuries that they came in fourth. Washington's coming in last. Okay, that's the lock in this division. Atlanta is not going to be as bad as they were a year ago. They're going to be healthier. So you have to anticipate that, which means the Marlins fit right in at fourth place at minus 145. If you wanted Owen Casey, Cassie, however you say it, at 19-1, NL Rookie of the Year, I don't hate that. I think Yuri Perez or Alcantara at 45-1 or 60-1 is long shots for the Cy Young. That makes all the sense in the world. Alcantara had a 3.33 second half ERA. He was had a better K-9 ratio the second half of the season last year. And then Yuri Perez, if we go back a couple years ago, this guy was electric. Had 108 Ks in 91 and a third innings in just 19 starts. He's still young. He's still in his prime. He could potentially have a monster season here. But to me, the best bet you can place on the Marlins, aside from the win total, fourth place minus 145.
I love that angle, though, especially with what you said on, like, we know who's going to finish last.
Yes.
So let's see what makes the most sense after that. Because you did also bring up a couple ways that this team could have some success this year, what do you think about our guy Jensen Lewis's bold take in the guide that Miami not only finishes above 500, but challenges for a wild card?
I think that there are two teams that I think people can make a case for that are normally bottom dwellers to do that. Miami's one of them. Because of that three head, if Alcantara, Yuri Perez go back to their old form, they'll have a 1-2-3 with Meyer in there at three. That's going to be really good in these three game sets. The other team, though, that I prefer, and we'll get to them later, you guys will get to them, is the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think the Pirates around 5-1, I think they can make the playoffs.
Okay.
I think Paul Skene's 35-1 NL MVP could be something we're discussing late in the year.
Justin, we might need to clip that for money moves when we get to Pittsburgh here, because that is an interesting approach. Absolutely. Okay. 4 minutes to go in this Olympic hockey game for Team USA. Can they hold on? Still just a 1-0 game out there in Milan. Both Team Canada and Team USA, the top two seeds in this tournament, getting tested and pushed to the end of their respective games today. This will be great to follow up with when we have Mike Palm in studio coming up next. His thoughts on both of the contenders, who can go all the way, what he thinks on the women's gold medal game coming up tomorrow morning between Team USA and Canada. It's all going to be awesome. Don't go anywhere. Excited to have Mike Palm join Follow the Money live in studio here at Circa next.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Tony Bonantoni, Dustin Sweetelson in for the guys for one more day as we welcome you back here to Follow the Money live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. And given the chaos that we have in Olympic men's hockey right now, nobody better to get into it with than Mike Palm, who joins us here in studio in his usual spot. The Swedes tie it up, Mike. Mika Zibanejad on Connor Hellebuck.
I didn't see that coming. I really didn't. I thought the Swedes hadn't been aggressive enough all game, and it The Americans were pretty much in control, but they pulled the goalie and they get the... It's been a day of chaos. Other than the Germany no-show early, this has been an incredible day of hockey.
This could be the third overtime we get here. 40 seconds could left be. In regulation.
No, it's there. A favorite.
38
well,
seconds.
Dustin looks at his app, ahead. He can tell us, because this is 45 seconds behind.
No, there's still... Yeah, we saw the goal on the app happen literally a minute before it happened on the screen. By the way, how
That's
come...
so bad.
How come when you guys... When you come into studio, every time I look, Paulie's in the middle and he's like this low.
Yeah.
How come he's that low? He's not that short. What happened?
I think he's miserable. And then he just sang no.
Here's what I said. I had to do their promo for tomorrow's show coming up on Thursday's Follow the Money. The boys are back. I said, Mitch probably spent his vacation at the White Lotus.
He was in Barbados.
So, same thing. And then minus 10,000 odds, Paulie did not leave the city of Las Vegas.
He didn't leave downtown Las Vegas. MLK is about as far as he got away from Fremont Street.
Y'all are the worst.
No, we're not. It's we're true. Really not. It's
when
true.
When you know it's people, true. You just know they're... Paulie probably said, I'm going to go to L.A., I'm going to go to Hawaii, and in the end...
Will they share the stories tomorrow when they come on? Will they share their,
Mitch
their
Mitch
trips?
Will. Mitch, will. Mitch will.
And Paulie will tell about some video poker session eventually.
Yeah, he went and got a chicken sandwich at a steak place.
To push this forward, though, with the hockey, I think that there was an expectation, though, coming in that Team USA got a bad draw here with Sweden, given that they ended up being ultimately in the seventh seed, that this could be a really tough game. I don't know if people thought the same way about Czechia against Canada. We said that in the preliminary round, and they were a no-show. They get shut out 5-0. Today, they pushed Canada to the brink. Where was this team at the beginning?
I thought Canada was not great defensively today, honestly. And this game went up and down. This was not a game dominated by Canada that Czechia got lucky, although their third goal was with six skaters. I mean, when you celebrate with six guys hugging each other, that should be an indication. And shame on for the officiating, which a lot of NHL officials for missing that. But we talked about this before the tournament. Lukas Dostal, with a team that has a defense on its mind, not the Ducks, could be dangerous. And remember, I bet them to get a medal. Terrible draw, because I didn't think they'd draw Canada. I thought they'd make the final four, and then do they need to win the third place game to get a medal?
Okay, let's assume the U.S. finishes the job here, which is not a great assumption. If we see Canada, what is the style of game that the U.S. needs it to be if they're going to end up winning that game?
Well, I used to think that it was going to be a dirty game in front of the net. Remember, Bill Guerin did not take four of the top five American-born scorers on this team, right?
Well, we were up in arms about Jason Robertson specifically. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't think he took enough finishers, right? But the way that the Czech Republic played against Canada today, maybe going up and down the ice with these guys is the formula.
Okay, you're no offense, you're older than us.
Barely.
I'm obsessed with the 1980 Olympic team. Mm-hmm. I've watched the movie 5 billion times. I watched the documentary on Netflix on my vacation on my way back. When you think about what that did to hockey in the country, was that the catalyst that made hockey as big as it became eventually here?
That's an interesting point, but you still had great franchises in New York. And then hockey expanded to areas. I think expansion for hockey. You put a hockey team in the middle of the desert in Phoenix. How could that work? It was great, right?
For a while.
Then you bring it here, right? It's great. And it's expanded all these places. It finally worked in California. I will say this. There's no group that milked more out of 45 years out of one game than this group did.
You see Mike Ruzioni, you're like, Mike Ruzioni has made he's the original influencer. Before TikTok, Mike Ruzioni was a guy who was like, I'm going to make a living off of being Mike Ruzioni for the rest of his life. And congrats to him. He's nailed it.
They had the 40-year anniversary here in Vegas, and I actually got to like host a bunch of them on a stage. And it was really fun. It was cool. I got... what's his face? Al Michaels came out for it and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really fun.
Well, he was 27 years old?
A young guy
announcing that?
It was a big deal for him doing the Olympics then. He wasn't remember he did Monday Night Baseball?
Yeah, I'm sure bigger people passed on it, and it was on tape delay.
Right. Right.
That's even a crazier thing to think of. We're complaining about the 40
seconds. The NBA Finals used to be on tape delay, Stormy, in the 70s.
But we live in a world now where if you don't know what happened in the moment and react in the moment, you never recapture.
So this is something I want to ask you about as we are in overtime right now.
Tie game.
What do you think about this
for
in the
10
Olympics?
Minutes.
Yes.
And then they go to the shootout. Well, Stormy, I've made my thoughts known to you about 3-on-3. It's the worst hockey we play all year in the NHL because all these guys do is skate it out of the zone and change. It's just a constant merry-go-round. And remember before, you couldn't even get through a minute of it. It was just wide-open hockey, but now they've adopted this. I believe that if you have the puck in your own zone and you skate it past the red line, it should be a penalty in the NHL.
Wait, why make it harder in overtime? Just play straight up 5-on-5. Right? Yeah. I need this is like busy work. This is someone came up with an idea. This is the wrinkle we're going to have for Olympic overtime. It makes no sense. Why would you want to crown a team and let them advance at not everyone at their equal strength?
I would play 20 minutes of 5-on-5, and then if you didn't get there, then go to the shootout. But I wouldn't do this 3-on-3 because it distorts the game.
It's like NBA Jam, though.
No one likes it.
It's like
NBA.
No one likes it. It reminds me of NBA Jam, though. I do like that.
If Team USA wins, so they'll reseed after the quarterfinals. So it would have Canada against Finland and USA Slovakia. If Sweden wins, Canada will face them because they're the 7th seed, which would be a tough draw for Canada. And then Slovakia would face Finland.
Well, the good thing for the U.S. here is if you win this game, I mean, Slovakia has played well, but I certainly don't fear them as much as Sweden. So the U.S.,
absolutely.
I think, gets a little break here that if they can win, they get Slovakia and not Finland. Who, you know, most the conventional wisdom was Sweden, Finland is the third best team, right? And then Czech maybe fifth. But you got to get through this, and you got to get through 3-on-3, which is a lot of luck.
Did you know that the Czech Republic and Czechia are the same country?
I do.
I found out today. Real quick on the MLBPA, Tony Clark, the situation he finds himself in, because you are the moral compass around here.
Well,
Mike Palm. Is it worse if he cheated with his wife's sister or if he cheated with his brother's wife?
His wife's? I have to think now. His wife.
He lost his job and his family
brother's
either
wife.
Way.
I think no, brother's just, wife is worse.
No, or I no, think wife's no. sister is
yeah,
worse.
Exactly.
Wife's
yeah,
sister is worse.
Forth.
Stormy, wife's sister's got to be worse.
Because you're choosing your
you
wife and
you,
betraying
Ryan, you
her.
Didn't choose your brother.
Yeah, that's
you
blood.
Chose your wife.
Okay, that's fair. I don't know.
But
I think
what a smokescreen
that
was. Follow the money. Follow the money. Who cares about the sister-in-law? Follow the money here.
Also, by the way, Tony Clark, he's not the one that actually does the negotiating. Let's be very clear about that, okay? They have real lawyers because Tony Clark's not a guy you want up in the room against billionaire owners and Rob Manfred, okay?
No, he's not Don Fear.
Yeah,
I'll give him that.
By the way, Don Fear, he's only 77 years old.
I couldn't believe that.
I thought he was 120.
I thought he was 77 then when
yes,
he ran the union.
Yes.
Sorry to make you upset and go back to hockey,
yeah, go.
But we do have the U.S. women's gold medal game coming up tomorrow. Yeah?
I was way wrong on this. Remember I said don't lay 350 because there'll be 180 in the title game? They're 450
yeah.
tomorrow. They were 170 a week ago, Stormy.
They're
$5.
Yeah,
nothing's changed.
Yeah.
It's the same two teams. 170 and 450? Get out of here.
Yeah. And yet, how are you playing it? Because I don't know.
My lungs are. I need the Canadian women, the U.S. women to win. So there's no play for me. Should I try to plus 2.5 goals in middle it? I don't think so. Some of my friends that have it at minus 120 are taking the 2.5. I think this is a whole different breed. This U.S. women's team is so dominant.
So that's how I feel. Because we were talking about this yesterday. I understand that the pricing is out of whack on this game. It's awful from what we saw to this.
Yep.
But my feelings on Team USA has not changed whatsoever. So I laid 1.5
remember
with
how much
USA
I loved
right away.
Sweden? And I said Sweden might be better than Canada. Sweden didn't have a goal the whole tournament, crushed everybody.
Yep.
And the U.S. beat them 5-0. It was 5-0 after two.
While you guys were talking, I've been locked in on the game. Just an update. We're putting pressure on them. The U.S. has gotten a bunch of shots up here in overtime. Just, it's really hard to run an offense
this
with three guys on the
this
rink.
This is like a coin flip here. Honestly, you got two NHL goaltenders.
Here's the here are the odds. Minus 210 USA plus $1.60 Sweden.
I'd take the $1.60.
You have to.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, you walked in here and you guys were going back and forth on Mick Cronin.
The best.
This guy, I call him Napoleon Dynamite. The little gent, he's ready to explain. He lives just for the press conference. This is 3 years of this with him. I even went back and looked at some stuff from Cincinnati when they would play Xavier and that, how crazy this guy is. He always calls out at his team. It's always his team's fault. How about the reporter? He said, kudos, you've asked the worst question ever. The guy's, well, you're raising your voice to me. The guy wasn't at all. The guy,
and he goes, it's on video, everyone can see.
What are you lying about? How about last year? I'll play this maybe next week when I'm back with Mitch and Paul. They asked him about the travel in Vegas. Every other week, he complains about the travel. We have to fly, and it's freezing below zero because somebody said, well, what about the West teams? They travel too. He goes, really? Really? Those kids from Iowa City are upset that they get to stay in the same hotel for two nights in 72-degree weather in L.A.? You're going to compare? You're a reporter? I'm going to walk out of here and go eat.
Go!
You're a reporter.
Let's go. USA.
Hughes.
Go.
One of the
Hughes
brothers.
Hughes brothers having a day, by the way. They had both assists on the first goal earlier. Let's go.
Canada.
Let's go.
Canada.
All right.
Your days are numbered, Canada.
Yes.
We've had your cup since 93. Now we're coming for your gold medal.
Mike, you're awesome. I'm so glad we got to celebrate this with you. You're the man. And speaking of cups, we're not allowed to call it.
Not big cup, little cup.
But you can tell what I'm talking about when I mention the World Soccer Championship experience that's coming up. Only right here at Circa Resort Casino.
Be better, boy.
One lucky winner can score a two-night stay here at Circa, a VIP cabana for two at Stadium Swim, and so much more. Enter now. Kick off World Soccer Championship at Circa Resort and Casino. Giveaway details, CircaLasVegas.com.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Boy, was that a sweat with Team USA and Sweden in men's Olympic hockey. Welcome back, Follow the Money. Stormy Bonantoni, Dustin Sweetelson with you. The U.S. gets it done. They end up closing this thing out 2-1 in overtime. Quinn Hughes with the GWG in 3-on-3 overtime. So he has a goal and an assist ultimately in the win. So while we do not have odds out yet for what the semifinal games coming up on Friday will be, we do know the matchups at least because we reseed here. And Team USA actually gets the favorable draw compared to Team Canada here because of the seeding that we saw. So USA will face Slovakia, Canada will face Finland when all is said and done.
Well, here's what I need. I now need these books to put up the futures back up so I can add to my tip jar parlays I'm putting together.
Boom.
Because Canada -130, even though these colors don't run, it is inevitable. They care way more about this. They're going to win the gold. So that needs to be one of the legs of one of my parlays. Also, real quick, breaking news. The second half of the NBA starts tomorrow. I'd argue this news means that the NBA is back. Joel Embiid has already been ruled out for Thursday's game for Philadelphia.
Of course they have.
So...
so good.
That means the second half is officially underway.
Peak NBA in 2026. We will preview a little bit of that NBA 10-game card coming up tomorrow. A little look ahead to the second half as well. But when you said that about Canada and gold, it reminded me of, and maybe I was on the air with you where you were producing a show that I did that was around St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, the,
and
the
we
leprechaun?
Were doing the, yeah, the leprechaun in Mobile, Alabama.
Where
I want the gold.
Get me the gold.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
It might be a crackhead.
So I do see those futures odds up at DraftKings right now. Canada -130, Team USA +115, Finland 18-1, Slovakia 35-1. When we get the individual game odds, I will make sure we let you know. But you mentioned the parlays, the pizzeria play, the pizza money. Let's play the music. Let's get it going. We've got some fun.
Do you like the service at Mitch and Pauly's?
I don't tip.
You don't tip?
No, I don't believe in it.
Leave us a tip on your way out.
You don't tip.
You don't tip.
What do you mean you don't tip?
You don't believe it.
The guys crack open the jar and see what the listeners have left behind.
So what, no f***ing eating now?
It's time for the tip jar at Mitch and Pauly's Pizzeria.
All right, look, before we get to everyone's picks, I need to know. Stormy Bonantoni and Chris walk into a pizzeria. What is the order?
Ooh.
What is the pizza? I'll give you two. You can have two toppings or two pizzas with different toppings.
Pepperoni and ricotta.
So that's one pizza?
On one pizza.
Mozzarella
as like your base, right? So that's fine. But pepperoni and ricotta, I would add that.
I'm a big cheese pizza fan. Like, sometimes I think people do too much. I actually prefer a white pizza.
Okay, that's nice.
A delicacy is a white pizza with an orange soda. Perfect combination. I am a soda sommelier.
Orange soda is the top choice being a soda sommelier. Top choice is an orange soda.
Sommeliers pair the wine with the food. It is the perfect pairing for a white pizza. Now, for a cheese slice, I believe a cherry cola is the preferred pairing when it comes to soda.
I'm learning so much about you right now. Where does a Shirley Temple sit on the list?
Ooh, that's interesting because it's part Sprite, part cherry. It'd probably be good with like a pepperoni or a meat lovers because the sweetness to the saltiness factor with all the meats on the pizza.
This is the analysis that you're looking
for,
obviously. Okay, before we get to some of the other picks, let's do yours because you've been putting together a couple of these pizzeria plays.
Yeah, I might have a problem. Now that Canada's available, look, there are four must-have anchor legs to my parlays right now. If you can get Canada -130 to win gold in hockey, Scheffler -165 to win a major this year, the UConn women's basketball team, I think they're minus like 380 to end up winning the title this year, and then the Dodgers to win the World Series. Those are my four favorite anchors. The one that I submitted earlier today, though, at VSiN Live, a seven-legger. It pays 457 to 1. The Big Ten wins the NCAA tournament. The Cavs win the East at plus 330. UConn's minus 305 to win the women's tournament. What do you think about it? You're the hockey person. The Avalanche to win the West at plus 190. Great. The Dodgers, the Dominican Republic to win Pool D in the World Baseball Classic, minus 165. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, minus 125 to win the Western Conference. That is a big fat one. Oh, that's not the one. I submitted one that was 147 to 1. Sorry, that was just Scheffler to win the Masters, the Dodgers, the Thunder, the Avs, and Canada. Okay.
Okay.
So I did have Canada on that one.
Okay, let's go to some of the tip jar plays that have been sent in at JTim11 on BetMGM. Go in with the women's hockey gold medal game, USA over Canada, laying 2.5 on the puck line, plus 125. Already right off the bat, love. To make the Final Four, Michigan, who you already called inevitable earlier today.
I like this strategy. Keep going.
In the NHL, the Western Conference win. Is this right? The Western Conference winner to be from the Central
Division.
So minus 185 there. 100% with you. Especially you just talked about the Avs. The Wild are a team that I love this season and have a future on. You get the Stars in that as well. Even a mammoth team that could maybe sneak in. So yes, I like that angle with the Central. And then in the NBA, Nuggets Pistons plus 1850. So that's kind of the banger of the parlay to put together. Pays over 125 to 1 in total.
Okay, the thing I like about his strategy is it's one anchor long shot and the other ones are a bit shorter coming in. I don't hate that mode. That's probably a good way to go about it. He has the exact at plus 1850. I think people are still sleeping on Detroit. I think Detroit's not getting enough respect, and that team plays hard. They have a chip on their shoulder. They defend. I think Detroit's going to be a tough out here. New York does not want to see Detroit again in the playoffs.
Okay, Mark Hoppel chiming in with a play on FanDuel. You got Kansas to reach the Final Four at 10-1 as the top leg. Boston to win the NBA title, plus 330.
That's got to be the win the East. That's got
to
be
okay
win the
to
East.
Win the East, because I was like, that's not right. Colorado to win the Western Conference, plus 125, and your Dodgers as the base leg at plus 220. So Dodgers and Avs, we already know. Yes, love. That's great. How do you feel about Boston? They're expected to get Jason Tatum back, and then your long shot being Kansas.
Yeah, look, the bet is on two things here, and that's Darren Peterson being available for Kansas and Jason Tatum returning for the Celtics. If either of those things go awry, the parlay's cooked. But that's the beauty of this, like, big-time paying parlay, is that if it does go in your favor, you're cashing out a almost 340-1 ticket here. But if Tatum returns, that is the only way this ticket has a chance.
Chris Ebert, 7296, going strictly for a Super Bowl exacta with the Eagles and Jags, 81-1. So do the Jags take that next step, I guess, first?
Yeah, the Jags, I think, are going to be a very trendy team next year, especially post-free agency. I don't know how the draft's going to go because they traded for Travis Hunter last year. But I do think they're going to be, because of that defense, they kept both coordinators. They're going to be in the mix next year. The Eagles are the question. They just hired a guy who's never called plays before, and they just had an offensive coordinator in Petullo who had never called plays before, and he struggled with this offense. Jalen Hurts needs a very specific type of coach, and thus far, they're about 50-50 finding him. Properly with Shane Steichen, right? He got the most out of him. Kellen Moore got the most out of him, but then they're 0-2 the other way.
They're in every other year team.
Yeah.
And fair. I would say last year was a down year. They lose in the wild card to San Francisco. Maybe next year could be an up year, and they figure it back out again. Because, I mean, like, yeah, the offensive line even was an issue. Saquon, like, the numbers were significantly different than what we saw the year before. I think they could be a different team this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I think Jalen Hurts needs an offense to be designed a certain way for him to be successful. And is A.J. Brown going to be on that roster next year?
I don't think he should be.
I wouldn't.
Like, is the juice worth the squeeze, and, like, what the problems that he presents from a locker room standpoint, from a personality standpoint, from a give me the ball, and then when we give you the ball, you don't make the catches that you need to in crucial moments?
But also, Jalen Hurts isn't that accurate, so I don't know how consistently he's finding him anyway.
Listen,
so why tie up that money?
I understand also, like, I don't want people adding me and being like, I know that he is an amazing football player, okay? But what he causes from the mental standpoint,
sure.
I just don't know if it's worth it.
No, and I think New England would love to bring him in there because Mike Vrabel's worked with him in the past and loves him. I think that's a perfect fit. Go get something from New England for A.J. Brown and go find yourself another receiver.
At Just Win Bets, baby. So Sean Strickland, Moneyline versus Anthony Hernandez. Orlando to win the Southeast Division in the NBA, the Broncos to win the division in the AFC West, and then Man City to win Prem. 65 to 1, a little better? 65 and a half to 1?
I don't know the divisions that well in the NBA. Let me look. Orlando, I don't even know who's in their division. Orlando has been a real disappointment this year. I thought they were going to be awesome. They've had a ton of injuries. That would be
my
one.
Speaking of which, Franz Wagner sidelined indefinitely.
By the way, Wendell,
right now.
Wendell Carter coming up against Sacramento, over 7.5 rebounds, is still plus price. I like that for the matchup without
Wagner. I don't know enough about soccer to really have a strong opinion on the Premier League.
Yeah, I just assume if people like something in soccer that they have a good angle on it, because I'm American and I do not pay attention.
And he bleeds orange soda.
I bleed orange.
He doesn't understand.
Literally, I bleed orange soda.
What is the most elite soda in your opinion?
That is a good question. I'll tell you this. Sprite has these new chills that are very good, but to me, a cherry regular Coke.
Okay.
All-timer.
I am a vanilla regular Coke.
Ew, vanilla.
Don't you ew me. Vanilla. Unbelievable. Especially like if you've got a little hangover, just throw down a vanilla Coke with your lunch. It is chef's kiss. All right. We'll be right back kicking off hour 3 of Follow the Money after this.